Good morning, family. Hope you're all excited about the 110-degree weather we're promised this week. Oh, I didn't hear any excitement out there. There's a couple. Yay. All right. Yeah, we're getting ready for summer, aren't we? All right. It's a beautiful day today out there. I don't know what it we've reached 100 out there yet, but I imagine, was it going to get to 105 today or something? I don't know. Something like that. You'll have your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the fifth chapter of the book of Acts. We're going to be looking at a verse there this morning, really spending most of our time in Acts chapter 5. In a few days from now, I'm not going to tell you what day it is, maybe you can figure it out, but in a few days from now, I'll have a birthday, and when that birthday comes, as I'm thinking about it, saying to myself, wow, I'm getting older. And as I think about myself and the place that I am in my life right now, basically a few years past middle age, we'll say, I think about my age and I think about my life within the framework of the church. And I'm realizing to a greater extent that my generation at this time is handing the church over to the next generation. And we always need to come up with some terms, so we call these strange creatures, we call them millennials, some do still. I refer to them as millennials. So the challenge for us today, for my generation, is to be able to, in some very meaningful way, to reach out to these millennials with the message of Jesus Christ, to hand that baton over to the next generation and to put it in good hands so that when we teach others, this younger generation, about Christ, then the church can go forward for many generations until that time when Jesus comes back. It's a challenge for us to try to understand a younger generation. And unfortunately, what I read about, or what I hear about, reaching millennials and all of the concepts and ideas that people have, how do we identify with this younger generation? A lot of it to me, I'm sorry to say, sounds like market research. In other words, we're doing a lot of data and surveys and statistics and trying to lump people into categories and trying to understand certain folks. And so such questions are being asked of us. Well, what do the millennials want in a worship service? How do millennials think? And how can we appeal to them? How can we identify with them? How can we communicate to them and make a message that's meaningful from a book that was written thousands of years ago? And I'm sure that a lot of this research that people are doing today has some value. But I think that there's something very important that we are missing in all of this. And so what I'd like to do today is get a biblical perspective on how we can reach the millennials today and indeed hand over the church to a generation that sometimes, admittedly, some of you older folks can say that you're looking at them and shaking your head and wondering what the future of the church is going to look like. So I'm going to give you some suggestions today. What we're going to do is look at four things, and by the way, there is a sermon outline in your bulletin there, four things that we need to do, I believe, to be able to reach out to the millennials. The first one I want to mention this morning is that we need to start focusing on individuals. That is, when we look at the millennials, don't look at them as a category of people, but look at them as the individuals that they are. Instead of focusing on surveys and statistics and stereotypes within any age group, with anybody, you need to see them as they are, individuals. People in any particular generation are not clones of one another. They are, they come in a variety of shapes and sizes and personalities and so on and so forth. In fact, can I say to the old people here this morning, the old people. I believe that we have more in common with the young people than we actually realize. And aside from the fact that we all, as individuals, have blood coursing through our veins right now, we have a heart that's pumping, we have lungs that are generating air for us, and all of those common denominators, the other thing is that as we assemble here this morning, we are all souls. In fact, we are all souls that are sinners in need of Jesus Christ. And so the early church here, look at our text here in Acts chapter 5. The early church, what they did was, as they went about reaching people for Christ, I believe they focused on individual souls who were needing Christ. It says here in Acts 5:42, "And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ." There were religious people, as he puts them, in the temple, and there were perhaps non-religious people in the houses, in the neighborhoods around them, that needed to hear the message of Jesus Christ. The Christians here, as we read about them, they could have taken surveys, they could have done statistics and went out and asked questions and tried to compile data and did all of those things. They could have compiled the statistics, and there's nothing wrong with us doing that today. But knowing what 73% of millennials think about any given subject won't help you when you're talking to someone who happens to be in the 23% that doesn't fall within the 70 or the 27% that doesn't fall in the 23%. You see what I'm saying? So you can't put people on a shelf. You can't label them and categorize them. Everyone, we are all individuals. Statistics have their place, but people are not statistics. People are individuals. And so when I personally meet people that I want to reach for Christ, that I want to impact their lives, that I want to convey to them a saving message and change their eternity and get them closer to God, whether they're millennials or not, I find the best thing to do is just try to get to know them. Just ask questions, not in a survey fashion, but just try to get to know the person. And so I will simply say to them as I start to get to know an individual, just like I would with anyone, tell me a little bit about yourself. And I would sit down and listen to what they're saying about themselves. I think that's a very good and healthy thing to do. And then as I began to find out things about them, I eventually, of course, as a Christian, I could say as a gospel preacher, but as a Christian, I also will then eventually in the conversation say, "Well, how are you and the Lord doing? And by the way, what if we know the Lord's going to come back one day? What if the Lord were to come back right now? Would you know for sure, without a doubt, that you'd go to heaven?" And I began to ask about their relationship with God. But I want to know the person as an individual, not as an age group, not as a religion, not as a race, not as a political party, not as any kind of category at all. So let's reach out to the millennials, but let's start by focusing on their individuality and not seeing them as a category of people. Now, another thing I want to talk about this morning is that we need to reach, if we're going to reach millennials, we need to sit down and have meaningful conversation with them. We need to sit down and we need to get to know them. Millennials are like every other generation, and that is, just like every single one of us, we need relationships. Ultimately, of course, we need a relationship with God, but there's plenty of folks on this planet that God has created that give us access to God in a way through the relationships we have with those who were created in the image of God. So that's one reality, this idea that we all need relationships. That's one reality that never changes throughout history. You've probably heard it said before that people don't care how much you know unless they know how much you care. They want to see if you're interested in them. And you're never going to win someone to Christ unless to some extent you have first won them as your friend. I believe that this was a key principle in the life of Jesus when He himself reached out to others. Notice how he spoke to this woman here in John chapter 4. You remember the woman at the well. This was someone who was, of course, different than Jesus in gender. She was female, he was male. But also, she was very different in her culture and in her upbringing. She was a Samaritan and he was a Jew. And so we read these words in John chapter 4, beginning in verse 5. It says, Jesus came to the city of Samaria, which was called Sychar. Jacob's well was there. And there was a woman of Samaria who came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink. And the woman of Samaria said to Jesus, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? Now, though Jesus and this woman had their differences, Jesus recognized that they had come there for the very same reason. They had come to that well to draw water. That was the thing that was on their agenda for the day. And Jesus, when he came to her, he did not see her as a category, but instead he saw her as a soul, as an individual soul. And while it's true that Jesus knew about her greater need, Jesus saw her as an individual, and he took the time to sit down and to get to know this woman. They talk about water. They talk about the well. They talk about Jacob. They talk about history. They talk about, they talk about her relationships, that her live-in boyfriends or husbands, whatever you want to call them. They even talk about religion. Down into, if you're looking at John chapter 4, down about verse 19, she brings up the subject of religion. And so what I find when I look at John chapter 4, you ought to read it sometime, those first 26 verses there, and you'll see kind of a real interesting layout of how you interact with a person, how you get to know someone, how you have a relationship with someone. And what I find interesting is that if you count up the words there that the woman spoke, and I did this one time, I forgot the numbers, I think it's 205 words that Jesus spoke and 125 that she spoke, you'll find out that this woman actually had 40% of the conversation, which means that Jesus was a good listener. You know, it's really important when you're talking with someone that you be a good listener. You know why it's good to be a good listener? It's because your ears will never get you into trouble. Your mouth will. But, that's why God give us two ears, right, and one mouth. We need to be better listeners. And Jesus is talking to this woman, and it's interesting that he has only 60% of the conversation, because actually in her statements, four of them are questions which should have generated even more discussion from Jesus, but it didn't. You see, he was a good listener. He paid attention to what she had to say. And I think that says something for us today as well. We need to listen to people. Millennials today, they need you to reach out and say, hey, let's go get a cup of coffee. But of course, you know, if all of you that know me, it wouldn't be go get a cup of coffee, it'd be go get a hamburger, right? We need to visit with them and get to know them and understand them better. We have to stop talking about millennials and start talking to millennials. And so that's a key in all of this. It's about relationships. And let me tell you this. It's about relationships throughout the week. I want to come back to this key verse here in Acts chapter 5 and verse 42. When I talk about it's about relationships throughout the week, as good and as important and as essential as it is that we gather here this morning to worship God, to fellowship with one another, it's even more important, I think, to get to know each other outside of this building. Amen? That's what they were doing right here in Acts chapter 5. It says they daily in the temple, and where? In every house. That's like Carl's Jr., you know, it's Jack in the Box, wherever. Hey, listen, I'm going to go eat. I'm going to go fellowship. I want to visit with people and get to know them. I want to understand these folks, these aliens, these, what do they call them, X generation, whatever they are, these millennials. I want to get to know who they are, what they're about. And so we can't do that here in this building. What happens is in this building, What we mostly talk about is what? Church stuff. And that's okay, not a problem. Religious things, Bible, Scripture. Yeah, we talk a little bit about sports and, oh, every once in a while, politics, whatever. But you know what? We have more meaningful conversations actually outside of this building. We're able to connect with people and impact not only them, but also impact our relationship with God. And that's not to say that we can't learn to do things better in worship. We, you know, worship is good, and we should want to do things better in worship. We don't change our worship. The worship is what we read about in the New Testament. But we can improve our worship only as, of course, we try to do better things better to please the Lord and not to try to please a new generation. But worship belongs to God, so we need to leave that alone, do what God wants us to do in worship, and then build relationships with people. Now, this is, again, what I see right here in the early church in Acts chapter 5 and verse 42. They go outside the temple. That is the place of worship. And they go, they get out there, and they get to know the people. And when you talk to people outside the building, it is a different thing. People open up more. You learn more about them. You build stronger relationships with them. Now, I want to go to a third step here, thing about reaching millennials today, and that is the concept of service. Now, I'm switching gears pretty drastically here. I want to talk about how important service is in the body of Christ. Every generation appreciates acts of compassion and service. And millennials, deep down inside, they are actually bothered by this me generation. They care about those who are hurting. They want to see the church, which is the body of Christ, to be the hands and the feet of Christ, to get out and wash feet and serve others and do things that are meaningful in the world. They want to see that the church recognizes human need and is doing something about helping people in very tangible ways. I'll give you an example on this, by the way. We do our door knockings in the area here around the building on the first Saturday of the month, taking a break for the summer. But we knock doors, and when we're out there, one time, a couple months ago, I knocked a door, and I kind of knew who it was actually anyway, and one of our new Christians answered the door. Now, he's a young guy. He's in his 20s. And I told him what we were doing. You know, hey, it's good to see you, brother. You know, nice to see you more in worship. But, hey, listen, it's good to see you. You know what he said? He says, I want to go door knocking with you. You see, they want to serve. They want to do something to impact their world. And, again, I think it's very important. If you want to reach millennials, they have to see our Christianity and see that our Christianity extends beyond this building. That we're out there doing meaningful things. Service is important. And so this is what we should be doing anyway, but it's something we do to reach the millennials. If you notice, sometime you might do some reading in Acts chapter 2, you'll notice that the early church, the first church in Acts chapter 2, it says in verse 46 that they were praising God and having favor with who? With the people. You see, the people in the community, including those who are millennials. So we're supposed to do good. We're supposed to do good to all, especially the household of faith, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. And we're supposed to be salt and light in the world. Jesus said that we are the salt of the earth and we are the light of the world. That's what it means to get out and serve. So let's serve people like we're supposed to and then, in essence, reach the millennials. And the millennials will notice that kind of thing. Now I want to move to our fourth and final point. And that is, if we're going to reach the millennials, we need to do something that, again, we should just be doing anyway, but it is especially something that I think will make a statement to our younger generation. And that is, that as the church, hey, listen, we need to obey the Great Commission, right? We need to obey the Great Commission, right?
Amen.
Oh, but he's awake out there. What's the Great Commission? Let me make it simple for you. Go. Go. Go be the church. Go make other disciples so they can be in the church. Go. You know what? We want the low. You can't have the go. If you don't have the go, you don't have the low. Now you look at me like, what is he talking about? Matthew chapter 28, you got to go. Go into all the world, right? Go make disciples, okay? Matthew 28, 19, do you know what you have in verse 20? And lo, I'm with you always to what? We want the low. Lord, be with us to the end of the age. We want you to be with us. But he said, hey, listen, you want the low? You got to do the go. Amen? Alright. I'll get you excited about this a little bit. Go and make disciples. Share the gospel with other people. And I'll tell you what. Our younger generation, they like to see old gray heads going, moving, excited about something. And when the preacher says go, and they all say, amen, brother. That's what they want to see. And you know what? If we're not doing that, I mean, the least you could do is say amen to the preacher when he says go. And if we're not doing that, you know what? Millennials will look at you and say, hey, I got something else to do, man. I'm going over here. I'm going to go to the football game. I'm going to go to the rock concert. No, come and go with us and change people's eternity. Share the gospel with others. This is what it's about. Daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. That's our commission, to go and teach others about Jesus. Baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you, Jesus said in Matthew 28:20. It's not about having better church programs. It's not about having nicer facilities. It's not about more exciting worship services. Souls are saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. The gospel, not church programs, not fancy buildings. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. Millennials are reached because they want Jesus in their life. And they want to take Jesus into the lives of others. And they will go with us. When we will go, they will go, and the church will be in good hands. It's really quite simple. We all need to tell anyone we can about who Jesus is. And what Jesus did, and then what we must do in response to get in on it and be saved and have heaven as our home. Who is Jesus? Well, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is the one mediator between God and men. 1 Timothy 2:5. Jesus is the Son of God. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 and following. Jesus is God in the flesh, Colossians 2:12. Who is this Jesus? He's the one that died for your sins. That's the next point. What did he do? Well, he died, he was buried, and he rose again. The Bible calls it the gospel, written in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Tell them about who that Jesus is. Tell them about what he did. Tell them about the great love that we talked about in the communion meditation this morning when we talked about how much God loves us and he sent his Son to die for us, to be the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Tell the millennials and anyone who will hear who this Jesus is and what he did, and then tell them, just like Peter did on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when those folks heard the gospel and they said, what shall we do? Peter said, because they already believed in Jesus, he said, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the message we take into the world. Now, listen, what I'm saying about millennials today here is this. You don't have to be cool. You don't have to be hip. You don't have to wear the right clothes and speak the right lingo and all that stuff to reach the millennials. The Scriptures even warn us that some people become corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. And so we'd all be better off simply knowing Jesus Christ, Him alone, and Him crucified, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:2. So just start focusing on people as individuals. Sit down and get to know these folks. Serve others and then ultimately share the gospel. As I said, the gospel is really what it's all about. Have you come to know Jesus as your Savior today? If you're in the audience today and you have not named Jesus as your Savior, call upon His name today in the waters of baptism. When you have a faith in Jesus Christ, when you're willing to turn your life over to Him, and the Bible calls it repentance, turning away from sin and turning to God, then you're ready to obey that gospel and go with Jesus in the water, bury those sins, come up to walk in newness of life, and have new life in Christ. If you're a millennial, or if you're not a millennial today, and you're subject to the gospel call, we invite you to come this morning. If as a child of God you left the Lord, hey, listen, you need to come back. He's coming back very soon, and you need to be ready. If you need to respond, let's come right now while we stand to sing.